wake up in the morning and the alarm gives out a warning. I don't think I'll ever make it on time. By the time I grab my books and I give myself a look, I'm at the corner just in time to see the bus fly by. It's alright, cause I'm safe by the bell. If the teacher pops a test, I know I'm in a mess, and my dog ate all my homework last night. Riding low on my chair, she won't know that I'm there. If I can hand it in tomorrow, it'll be alright. It's alright, cause I'm safe by the bell.
Peter Engel, the executive producer of Saved by the Bell, the classic TV show now, joins us here on the Wake Up Call. Good morning, Peter. Appreciate you being on with us.
My pleasure. Nice to talk to you, Michael.
Good to talk to you, Peter. Got to say, I am a fan. I always enjoyed that program, and I still enjoy it today. I'm sure you get this everywhere you go, don't you?
You know, it's funny. It's amazing. You know, we had a whole Bell Gen in 85 countries. I mean, it really still astounds me when people come up to me and say, "You made my childhood," or "My kids." I was doing an interview with People magazine, and the editor, she said, "I never missed an episode. Now my husband and I watch it in the morning with our 5-year-old daughter." It amazes me.
Yeah, it continues to go on, and it was your brainchild, right? This is your idea. You couldn't have, in your wildest dreams, I'm sure, have imagined it could have grown to what it is today.
No, I mean, I didn't want to do the show. As I write in my book, I was saved by the bell, stories of life, love, and dreams that do come true. I had been working my whole life. I'd been searching for a hit show, and I was under contract to NBC, and Brandon Tartikoff, the president, said, "I want to do live action on Saturday morning." And everyone, the Time and the New York Times, a couple of years later, when we were hit all over the world, said, "You said what a great idea." I said, "No, I told them to get someone else. I didn't want to do it." And then my wife said, "Well, that'd be great. Our kids could grow up on it."
Yeah.
And I went back and I told them I'd have a show in 3 weeks. This was always the high school I wanted to go to.
I went
to a four-story walk-up in the west side of Manhattan.
Yeah, you came up with everything. You came up with the names. I mean, just thinking about that part, you know, Zach, Kelly,
the names were based on people I knew, some of them.
No kidding.
One of my closest friends was John DeLorean of the DeLorean car, right?
That guy,
to the Future.
Yeah.
His son was Zach.
Ah.
And Lisa Turtle was a Jewish-American princess I knew in Long Island. And Slater was a kid in my son Joshua's kindergarten class. And Mr. Belding was my cranky editor when I was at Universal, never wanted to make any changes. It was like he's doing me a favor when I said, "Let's change this on editing." So, you know, that's where the names came from. The characters, though, came from my heart.
Right. If you polled people today on the names of the people from the best shows of all time, their favorites, most people in that generation and in this new generation that's getting the show now could give you those names.
I'm giving you an example. Hamilton's the biggest hit in the history of Broadway, right? And Lin-Manuel Miranda is a international star. And he was a huge Bell fan. And he invited me to the show in June. And after the show, I met him on the stage. Now, I was only in one Saved by the Bell. I was in lots of Last Comic Standing. The network always insisted I was the one to tell people they had to go home, right?
Yeah.
And after the show, I met him on the stage. And he comes walking towards me. And in the voice, I did that one line on a golf course in Palm Desert, Palm Springs, and he goes, "When I make this putt, you'll owe me $1,000. And I said, "I bet you've been rehearsing that all day." He says, "For 3 days. I mean, it astounds me, the people who, I remember, went to the White House with Screech, and he broke the protocol.
It is.
They were so excited he was there, all the Secret Service people.
Wow. Do you have a favorite character? Is there one that you kind of is dear to your heart? I mean, obviously you got to love them all. And I'm talking about the character itself, not maybe the actor or actress.
Of course, Zach.
Zach's the one, isn't he?
Yeah, Zach's the one. Zach's the kid I always wanted to be.
Yes, of course.
I was never Screech. Okay, let's get that.
No, of course not. Nobody wants to be Screech.
But Zach was the kid I wanted to be.
My favorite was Tuttle, by the way. That tells you how much I know that show.
Mr. Tuttle.
Yes, great character.
Now, Mr. Tuttle was actually an actor, but he worked in the business affairs at NBC as a negotiator.
Really?
In words, he was not an actor. When we hired. Yeah. He had been an actor. He was actually like an accountant.
Yeah.
And we loved him personally, and we put him in the show.
I like Belding. I know everybody likes the characters, the kids. I want you to tell us about it, because it's kind of a second family to you. You get to be around these people so much. Talk about the actors that grew up on that show.
Well, we had to be a family. The kids were only 14 when we started. And Screech was only, Dustin was only 11. I misread his birthday.
Yeah.
And they were magic. They were... In each, the first night you don't cast them all together, right? And the first night we got together a couple of days before the show was to begin rehearsal and taping, and I said, "This is magical." Obviously, the chemistry was there right away, not only off on camera but off camera.
Yeah.
And these were the best kids ever. And I had to be more than the executive producer. I had also to be the papa, and we had to run our own school. Forget the fake school, right? It's the California laws.
That's
we
right.
have a whole schoolroom. So I was also the principal of the real school.
You were the Belding, okay?
and it was the highlight of my life. And I didn't know if anyone would see us, but people don't remember. We premiered in prime time 3 weeks in a row in August, and then the fourth was Saturday morning. But people don't remember this because 2.5 years later, I had the whole three-hour block with California Dreams and a second Bell, which was not in the school, but Adventures and City Guys, etc. Our lead-in were Chipmunks.
Yeah.
Our lead out was Smurfs, and we were against a rabbit, a raisin, and a bear. I didn't know if anyone would ever see us.
Yeah.
But the kids, they're talking about the kids. Belding was great, but because he was like my eyes and ears when, he would tip me off, right?
Yeah.
But there was never really a problem, except one night, because they all were dating each other. And then when you're dating, you break up, right?
Right.
And I had to sit with them for like 3 hours, and they both said, "I guess you got to put the show first." And they did, and they were the best group ever. People say to me, "You really made those kids," and I go, "No, they made me."
Yeah, well, the relationships, was it the same as on what's the show itself?
Well, everyone dated everyone else,
okay,
according to Tiffany.
They went through the round.
But they never dated each other while they were dating on the show.
Yeah.
In words, that could have been terrible, right?
Yeah.
If something happened.
Sure.
I had another show where the morning of the taping night, not this show, where a couple who would have fallen in love that night, actually off camera, were dating and broke up that morning. And we fortunately, they were such pros, even when there was a breakup or something, it never affected
them. And I think there was some special, it was some movie that was the making of this, basically.
Yeah.
Did you watch that, and was it accurate?
They sent it to me to look at, because my lawyers warned them, don't do anything, to hurt the brand or me.
Yeah.
And I was, it was a sweet little thing on Lifetime, right?
Yeah.
And, well, I think it was Lifetime, and
yeah,
I was the most boring character in the I said, they all I have is my glasses. I mean, who's that guy? Every scene with Brandon Tartikoff, the president of the network, which opens with us in his office, it was a sweet homage. It was nothing.
Yeah. What?
I mean, it was nothing bad.
Nothing, okay.
It was kind of just sweet,
It was, when did this thing kind of blow up and just become so popular?
We went on the air in the summer of 89, three prime times, and the critics destroyed us in New York, San Francisco, and L.A. And then a guy called me in the fourth episode and even sang Poor Saturday Morning and made fun of Tiffany Amber Thiessen's name. It was cruel, okay?
Yeah.
And then I got a call. We were on the air just a few weeks from a television critic in San Diego, and he says, "Hey, you've been getting a rough treatment." I said, "Yeah." He says, "Don't worry. My kids love your show. And wait till the rest come in." And all of a sudden, Dallas came in, and Houston came in, and Birmingham came in, and Chicago, and you name it. And they were raves, right? But that still didn't show us. But I got, once we knew, we had found out, no one had measured audiences 12 to 17, tweens and teens. We made up the word tweens.
Yeah.
And it was always 2 to 6, 7 to 14, 18 to 49. And all the research people at NBC who predicted doom came out from New York and ran and said, "Get over to my office." And they showed me that we had more teens and tween girls on Saturday morning. This is about 6 weeks out, right? Then the Cosby Show, which had teenagers on it, right?
Yes.
In prime, we had more teenage girls on Saturday morning on Saved by the Bell than the Cosby Show had, who was the number one primetime show.
That tells you something there.
And once we knew that, we knew where they were.
Yeah. What was it like controlling those crowds? Because I can imagine you had an audience to watch, and then these kids are just, you know, they're bigger than life to these people. What was that like?
It was like a Beatle concert.
Yeah.
I mean, we would bust them in, right? We bust them in. We taped about 7 o'clock. We would bust them in right from high schools. And it was like Beatlemania. I mean, the warm-up man would warm them up, that I would come out to introduce the cast. And I did that for two reasons. I could sense the audience. And most of them were great. Sometimes they weren't. And I could tell the kids to hold or not for laughs, et cetera. It was astounding. I mean, it was bedlam. And when Zach and Kelly broke up, they were booing and they were screaming when she kissed the other guy,
yes.
Older college student. And it was wild. And it was a highlight of my life. And especially, I'll tell you a little story. The last night we ever were shooting together was in 1995, I think, all right? And we were doing a movie, Wedding in Las Vegas, where Zach and Kelly got married. We were shooting all night because it was night stuff, chase, car chases. We'd never done anything like that. And we were in Vegas, so the last night of shooting, we had our dinner meal at midnight, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to shoot till like 3 or 4 in the morning. And Mark Paul and Mario and I decide we're going to go in their dressing room in these little portable things they had, and we're going to eat there for the last time. And we're talking and telling jokes and remembering and laughing, and there's about 10,000 people across the street, and they're screaming, "Zach Slater!" And these kids look at me, and remember, they're international stars, right?
Yes.
And they asked permission, could they go sign a few autographs?
How about that?
We were never going to be together anymore. This was it. And they asked my permission. They were international stars. Could we sign? Would it be all right? Mm. We did our famous handshake that Mario and I had invented way before we used it on Bell. And that was a signatory note of what those kids were about.
Do you keep up with them still?
Once in a while. It's hard. They're so busy, but I tried. Once in a while.
I'm sure you've been asked 1,000 times, but any chance for another reunion?
I think the Fallon thing did it all.
Yeah.
And you can't top that.
Well, there's so many great episodes. I mean, I like the show, and I was in college when it was on. And then,
yes, that was another thing. We didn't know about the college kids yet.
Yeah.
That we weren't just 12 to 17. We were 8 to like 26, 27.
Right. And that's true. And I watched the show, and I think the show that gets the most attention, and you know what it is, it's the one with Jesse and the pills.
Song.
Yeah. Is that your favorite? Or is that, obviously, it's the most attention. Do you have a favorite?
I wrote that episode.
Yeah.
It was my daughter's favorite episode, and it was a favorite of practically every female teen at the time. That wasn't personally my favorite, but I think it had the most impact.
Yeah.
And you know, we wrote it differently. It was not about pills. It was about peer pressure.
Yeah.
Because we did marijuana later on, and we did drunk driving. We did the oil spill. we did other things. But for some reason, this resonated. I mean, the taping was unbelievable that night, Michael. Mm-hmm. But what happened was that Tom Tenor, which I had written that episode, although I rewrote every episode. But we had taken that one, and we wrote it as speed, amphetamines.
Yeah.
And we're sitting in a meeting with the network, and the network goes, no way, on Saturday morning, she's taking speed. And Tom Tenor was said, how about caffeine pills? I didn't even know what caffeine pills were. I just wanted to get out of the meeting.
Yeah.
But we never changed the word.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience was actually crying. That, you know, the best comedy can make you laugh, cry, and feel good all over. And you can be laughing, and the best comedians can make you, comedic actors, can have you laughing, and you're crying, and you don't know it. Well, not only were Mark Paul and Elizabeth crying, the audience was crying. I mean, it was overwhelming. And, of course, that has been, you know, highlighted by everyone, that it was speed and not... Excuse me. It was speed and not caffeine pills. No, it was the peer pressure and the chief pressure.
Pills? You mean you really are taking drugs?
I need them.
Jesse, give me those.
I need them, Zach. I have to sing.
Jesse, you can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
This show, it continues to... go on, and I just saw something recently. I'm sure you probably saw this too on Jimmy Fallon when he brought some of the characters back and did a scene from Bayside. Did you see that?
Not only did I see it, that's what made me finish the book.
That's it. Okay. Well,
happened was, you know, they flashed my credit at the end, right?
Yes.
And what happened was, I'm looking at that, and I called them up the next day, and I said, in fact, I met with, they were shouted out here. I met with the guy who actually wrote it. I said, I couldn't have written it better.
Yeah.
I said, were those the actual numbers on the lockers? He said, yes. Because they watched every episode. I said, I never paid attention to that. That was Zach. That was Kelly. That was Slater. And I called my son, who works for YouTube, and he was in Singapore working for them at the time. I said, how many hits do you think we'll get? He said, I think 1 million to 1.5 million. I said, no way. We got 35 million hits.
I saw it on YouTube as well.
And that was just on YouTube.
Yes.
And I think that was it. That was made me say, I got to get this book out now.
Yeah. I guess you found that people may know the show better than you know it yourself, don't they?
Pardon? Yes. when the DVD came out, I think it was 2004, okay?
Yeah.
There was a trivia contest. I was at a place right here on the Santa Monica Promenade. People, it was all over the country, right? I finished 1,108th. 1,108th place.
That's something. Do you watch the show anymore when it's on? Would you actually sit down and watch it? Is it something?
I don't, but I was in Chicago. There's a Saved by the Bell restaurant. I did it the week before last, did a book signing.
Yeah.
And they all, on all the television sets, they're running different episodes. And I go, because I really never watched them after the, you spend so much time writing them, rehearsing them, producing them, editing them, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
So I never really watched them after I left the editing room. And I'm looking at some of this, and I'm going, these are really good.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch my box set now.
Okay. We're talking with Peter Engel. He is the executive producer of one of our all-time favorites, Saved by the Bell. And you do have your memoirs out. Tell about how people can get this. I know people want to, your fans out there want to get this.
It's a great present for Christmas. I was Saved by the Bell, stories of life, love, and dreams that do come true. You can get it at Amazon within 2 days right now. You can get the ebook, you can get either way you want it. And starting next week, they can get it on my website. I was savedbythebell.com.
Peter, it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Peter Engel, Saved by the Bell.